Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to read the same verses I read this morning and move on through there. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 35. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. Let's pray together. Lord, we do thank you for the good day we've had already, for the good service this morning, for the wonderful food and fellowship we could have. And now as we come to this afternoon service, we pray that you draw our minds and our thoughts again to your word. Pray that it would do its work in our hearts and our lives, and we give you the praise for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. And others, we said this morning that as we looked at verse 35, we said that's others of the same kind. Some receive their dead raised to life, and others with the same kind of faith were tortured. We spent a good deal of time talking about that this morning. We won't revisit that. But then verse 36 begins with the word "and others" again. And this is others of a different kind. It's like we look back in Galatians, the same gospel, which is not the same. This is others of a different kind of faith. The same kind of faith can produce the same to produce different results. But then we look here in verse 36, and I've titled this "Superior Faith." And others, a different kind. Now, I'm not saying their faith is in something different. This last, I think it was just yesterday, Muhammad Ali died. And I was kind of a fan of Muhammad Ali, just in the sports world, not a fan of his life. Muhammad Ali converted to Islam, I think because he didn't want to go to war in Vietnam. But his faith was not the same as my faith. His faith is in the Prophet Muhammad and his teachings. My faith is in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we see on the news as they broadcast that they talk about the great faith of Muhammad Ali. No, he didn't. He was a fallacy that he was believing in. He was converted by Malcolm X. If any of you remember back in the 60s and 70s, a radical terrorist. But the thing I want us to understand is even though this is faith of a different kind, this is still faith in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You see, we all have different kinds of faith because we are all in different kinds of circumstances. I'm not in the same circumstance you are. The faith of a child of 5 or 6 or 7 or 10 years old is different than the faith of an adult at 40 or 50 years old. It's faith of a different kind, but it's still faith in Jesus Christ. The faith of someone who everything seems to go along fairly fine is different than the faith of someone who is going through some difficult trials and going through the deep waters, but it's still faith in Jesus Christ. And here the writer of Hebrews makes a difference and says, and others of the same kind were tortured. But now he says, and others of a different kind, notice their superior faith. It's faith of a different kind. It enables to reject the approval of the world and seek only the approval of God and His glory. We live in a time when we, as Christians, are seemingly forced into a mold where we have to conduct our lives in a way that the world approves of us. Because we feel like an outcast, we feel like an outsider, we feel like a stranger if the world does not approve of how we spend our time. The world, you know, the world would not necessarily approve of going to church on a beautiful Sunday like this. It's nice and sunny outside now, and a beautiful day like this. You could spend your time in recreation. We took up an offering this morning, and the world would not necessarily approve of giving a tithe to the Lord, because that's 10% of your income. You can use that for fun. You can use that for recreation. You can use that to buy the new gadget, the new computer, the new iSomething, whatever it is you want. That the world does not approve. But that is irrelevant, because superior faith seeks only the approval of God. And the things we have to understand, that the absence of deliverance is not the evidence of the lack of faith. We looked at this a little bit in the first point. The absence of deliverance is not the evidence of the lack of faith. It's easy to tell someone else they should have faith when they're going through the trial and you're not. Job's comforters, it was easy for them. It's easy for us, by the way, to look back and look at Job's wife and criticize her. Job's wife, in the midst of extreme circumstances, says, "Job, why don't you curse God and die?" And she's taken a lot of heat for that over the centuries. But she was in one of the most extreme circumstances a lady should be in. All her children had died. Her wealth was gone. Her husband was sick. There was no remedy. She apparently was physically whole, but everything had crumbled about her. And it's not a surprise that in the midst of those extreme circumstances, she would make an extreme statement. Someone said once, don't criticize somebody for making an extreme statement in extreme circumstances. Faith sees a problem with two possible results. We spoke this morning about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in Daniel chapter 3. It says, "Our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king, but if not. Faith sees the problem with two possible results. When Daniel was thrown into the den of lions, there were two possible results. When he hit the ground, the lions would kill him, and he'd be in heaven. Or when he hit the ground, the lions would scatter and he would be fine. Two results. We talked a little bit ago about Abraham taking Isaac up to Mount Moriah. There were two results that were possible. He would go, Isaac would be slain. But God had already told him that in Isaac the generations would come. So either God would raise Isaac from the dead, or God would supply a substitute. Those are the only two possible results. We know that looking back, and it's easy for us to say Abraham should have faith on us looking back, and Abraham did have faith. But understand that every trial we come to, there are two possible circumstances. We talked about that this morning. God will deliver us from those circumstances, or God will deliver us through those circumstances. One of those two. Those are the only two options. You see, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, if they had died in that burning fiery furnace, it would not be because their faith was defective. Their faith was strong. The results were not the consequences of their faith or lack of faith. The results were the consequence were in the hands of God. Notice this goes on, and it has a list here, the trials of faith. Look at starting verse 36. Trials of cruel mocking, scourgings, bonds, imprisonment, stone, sawn asunder, tempted, slain with sword, wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, afflicted, and tormented. Had cruel mockings and scourgings. A whole list there. And it's interesting to me, and I hadn't really thought about this until I was studying this. I looked at, I don't know, four or five different commentaries. Each one of the commentaries tried to take this list and tried to go back through the Bible or back through church history and ascribe names to these events that are taking place there. And some agreed and some didn't. But you know, as I considered this, prayed about this, I thought, why do we always want to do something that God doesn't do? God didn't put any names there. Think there was a reason for that? I think sometimes that leaving the names out God is focusing on their faith and the God of their faith, not on the individual. See, we live in a day when it seems we have to give individuals notoriety. We have to have the top 10 of this, the top 10. I remember hearing Bob Jones III speak one time, and he said that some Christian publication contacted him and asked him, he said, "We're compiling a list of the 10 greatest preachers alive today. Would you give us your list?" He says, "I thought about it." He says, "I believe the 10 greatest preachers alive today are known only to their congregations or their tribes." I thought that was a wise statement. Because the greatest preachers alive today are not those that are on television, are not those that are on the evangelist preaching circuit. I have nothing against Brother Cox, he's a great guy, great preacher. Do you understand what I'm saying? They're preachers that are faithful in their place, seeing God work day after day after day. You see, D.L. Moody would never have been the great preacher. He would have crossed two continents unless his Sunday school teacher had preached to him for years and led him to Christ. You see, we have this list of individuals, difficulties, trials that most of us will never have to endure. But God wants us to focus on the faith and the God of their faith. I can't imagine going through some of these things. I can't imagine. We mentioned the other night in Wednesday evening service about a preacher who'd spent 20-some years in Beijing, and the government decided they had to force him out. I can't imagine having to leave a congregation that you spent 20 years building up, this handful of believers in a communist country, meeting in private and secret, and the government forcing you to leave the country, not knowing if you'll ever be able to come back and see those believers again. A fellow I know, been in his home a couple times, preached for him. His name was Malin Horton. He lived out in British Columbia when I know him. His wife was the daughter of a missionary. They're still alive. They're in their 90s now. In China. When the communists took over in China, they were forced to leave, and they forced them to march to the sea, all of the white people in China. Traveling along, her mother was pregnant. She had the baby along the road, and they forced them just to put it in a suitcase and bury it along the road and keep on traveling. They got closer to the sea, and the kids were put in concentration camps. They figured as long as the children were in concentration camps, the parents would behave themselves, and they did before they had to leave. He left a congregation. He left a little baby that had died along the way, buried along the road in an unmarked grave. That kind of faith is certainly a different kind of faith than I have to survive today. See, God gives us the kind of faith we need for the circumstances that we're in. Good friend of ours, her sister in South Carolina, had a baby, had serious birth defects. The baby would only live for a couple days. They knew that. Lady's name is Betty. Her sister Lois was down there with her, and they were standing outside the nursery glass. Remember how they used to have the nursery with all the glass in the front, and you'd look in, and you could see the baby, and Lois was standing there bawling. But Betty, the mother, was standing there, and Lois turned to her. Turned to her and said, "I don't know how you can take it." She said, Betty told her sister, she says, "Well, you don't need the grace and faith today. I do. God gives me what I need today." You see, God gives us the faith we need for today. We have to exercise it But it's there. It's available to us. I don't know, and I hope nothing bad happens this next week to us. But undoubtedly, we are going to have some kind of difficulty this next week. Some minor, maybe something bigger. God will give you the faith to go through that. God will give you the faith to deal with it. And others. And others. Faith in the balance. My fourth thought, if you're keeping track. Look at verse 38. Of whom the world was not worthy. Of whom the world was not worthy. See, the world's got it backwards. They somehow think that they're not worthy of us. Let me get this word straight. The world was not worthy. Somehow they think that we don't measure up. There's something wrong with us. It's like we talked in Sunday school that, you know, 50, 60, 70 years ago, people might not have practiced what we believe, but most people in North America believed it was true. There was a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. There was sin, there was right, there was wrong. And what the writer of Hebrews is telling us, that Christians who walk by faith are strangers and pilgrims in a world that is not worthy of them. Look how they looked at the Apostle Paul. In 1 Corinthians, Acts chapter 26 and verse 24. And thus he spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. Acts 22 and verse 22. And they gave him audience unto his word and lifted up their voices, saying, Away with such a fella from the earth, it is not fit that he should live. It's the world's opinion of Paul. Paul described his relationship with the world in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 10. We are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised. Even unto this present hour we both hunger and thirst, are naked and buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place, and labor working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we suffer, being defamed, we entreat. We are made the filth of the world and an offscouring of all things unto this day. Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verse 18, For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. Not worthy. The world is not worthy of the Christians that dwell in the world. Now, understand, I'm not saying we're better than anybody else. Okay? But it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. It's Christ that makes us worthy. Thou art worthy. My last thought, the abode of faith. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in the dens and caves of the earth. It's interesting that they had no permanent dwelling place. The world was not worthy of them. They knew they were pilgrims and strangers. What's a pilgrim and a stranger? A stranger is someone that does not naturally dwell there. You know, if a Christian can feel comfortable with the things of the world, then there's something wrong. If we can feel comfortable with the philosophy of the world, then there's something wrong with us. And pilgrims are someone that they have a home in another place and we're just passing through. You say, of course, this world is not my home, I'm just passing through. Pilgrims and strangers. See, abode of faith is not this world. The abode of faith is heaven. We're pilgrims and strangers here. The world is not worthy of us. Hebrews 11, verse 13, speaking of the heroes of the faith, all these died in faith, not having received the promise, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. 1 Peter 2:11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust which war against the soul. And others. Others of the same kind. Sometimes the same kind of faith produces very different results because God has a different plan for our life than someone else. Don't judge someone else just because they are not seeing the same results that you see. It may be God has a better plan for them than for you. And then sometimes faith is of a different kind. Because faith to go through little things is of different measure, is a different magnitude than faith for huge problems and difficulties. But the thing is, God is not a respecter of persons. We look through these, we call them hero, and I think maybe we do it just a disservice to ourselves and to the individuals in Hebrews chapter 11 by calling them heroes of faith. Because the same faith we see in them, if we look honestly and spiritually, we see in the lives of individuals in this room. Faith to live day by day. Faith to serve. Faith to overcome. Faith just to be faithful. Others of the same kind and others of the different kind. The just shall live by faith. And others. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for giving us faith. What a wonderful gift it is.